south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know I read every email, right? And I answer a lot of them. Some of them I can't answer because the questions are too, well, general and nebulous. Like a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a guy wrote in and said, I'm 62. What country should I live in? Now, a great many of you listeners, like me, really value their privacy, try to stay way under the radar. You know me, I have almost no social media presence. I'm not on Facebook, Instacrap, Twaddle, any of that stuff. I've only been on one Zoom call, just as a spectator. I never spoke nor put in a comment. I only went on Zoom that one time because a friend of mine died. It was his wife's wish for the funeral. It's amazing, too, to know that I'm not on social media at all, yet I got millions of downloads. How'd that happen? The thing is, though, I get lots of emails from people who are really into privacy, too. In fact, some of you don't even have smartphones because you don't trust those either. Nothing wrong with that, you know, but if we're going to do a one-on-one consult, there's got to be a way to connect, right? Now, of course, there are extremes in anything. And I've got, therefore, some listeners who are into extreme privacy. Some people refuse to have an internet connection at all. I don't know how they listen to the show, but they do, obviously. And some of these extreme privacy folks try to get in contact with me, which can be a problem. For example, just lately I've gotten a couple emails from people who went down to their local office depot from a mailbox, etc., too, just to send me an email from there so they didn't have to do it from home or their own PC or device. So I've gotten emails from people from Office Depot, mailboxes, etc., and some of those private mailbox outlets where you can send an anonymous email from there instead of sending it from your own device. Problem is, though, when people send me those anonymous emails, who am I supposed to send my response back to? Like the one I got just this week from Office Depot. Oh, and the person's so into privacy, they didn't even type it out. They hand wrote this one on a piece of paper and then took a photo of it and sent it by email. And this is handwritten. It says, to Johnny, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Hi, Johnny. I love your programs. Remember, this is handwritten and turned into a PDF document and sent from Office Depot. It says, could you please email to me as soon as possible the Catherine Austin Fitz document you referred to on a show a couple of weeks ago? Thanks so much, and there's no name. And in the send field, it just has the generic Office Depot email address. Now, I assume if you go into Office Depot and you're going to send an email, and you don't have your own email address, Gmail, Proton Mail, whatever. By the way, I just hate Gmail or anything having to do with Google. They are the enemy, you know. Yeah, I know. I have a Gmail account. I opened it up 11 plus years ago when I started this show. And I use it exclusively for things pertaining to this show. I have, of course, a Start Mail and a Proton Mail account, which are totally anonymous if I want them to be. But that's for my personal stuff. But you knew that already, and you're probably doing the same thing. At least I hope you are. And of course, I get emails from people all the time saying, Johnny, you got to quit that Gmail crap. Get rid of it. Get another one. Yeah, right. I've got probably 100,000 plus emails that have gone through that account. And if I dump the Gmail account, I'm going to lose that history. So like it or not, I'm stuck with it. But again, it's only for the show. Anyway, as far as anonymously sending me emails from places like Mailbox, etc., or Office Depot, if you go there and don't want to use one of your own emails or don't have one, it'll assign you one. Like, for example, 67643@officedepot.com. The word Office Depot will be somewhere in the email address. Anyway, regarding the email I just read coming from Office Depot, I replied to that email. Here's exactly what I said. I said, Dear Anonymous, I would be glad to send that info, but please be more specific. I offer so much free stuff, I can't remember all of it, nor can I remember what show I said it on. Tell me, please, what was the theme and the subject matter, and I'll send it off to you. Stay strong, stay safe, Johnny. And guess what happened? I got a reply. Let me read it to you. It says, thank you for choosing Office Depot number 6389, Riverside, California. We have received your email. Please note that this order placed via this email service requires a $2.50 minimum email purchase before taxes and discounts. There are no limits to the amount of emails you can send, but there is a $2.50 minimum for each email or each order. Are you getting this? In order for me to respond to the emailer through the Office Depot emailing service, I have to pay $2.50. You know how far you could stick that up your culo. So in fact, she never got my response. First, I have to pay the $250. So, Office Depot, you know where to stick that. Yeah, right. The whole exercise here is to try to be anonymous, right? And I'm going to give Office Depot my personal data, my credit card numbers, for $2.50. And we're not even discussing here how ridiculous it is to charge someone $250 to send a 25-word email. Office Depot, eat mierda. So our unfortunate emailer, with all the proper intents to be anonymous, will have to try to contact me in another way. Once again, anonymous emailer, I'd be glad to send you what you're asking for. Just don't make it so difficult, please. All right, let's jump right into the COVIDiot stuff. And man, does it get dark and deep. Speaking of email inquiries, I'm picking one here out of a pile of emails that say pretty much the same thing. It starts, "Hey Johnny, I'm one of those guys that definitely does not want to get vaxxed. Yet the days of traveling without a vax certificate of proof may be gone in the near future. So Johnny, can you refer me to a doctor or someone that I can buy one of these from without having to get the toxic cocktail vax injection? I'm currently in the States, but will be flying into Guatemala City in the near future." Signed, well, we'll keep him anonymous. Now, let me get one thing straight here. I am not the go-to guy for you to get a fake vax card. Oh yeah, I know people who have them, where you can get them, how much they cost, etc., etc. I've even seen a number of them up front and personal. But come on, to ask me over the internet, especially in a Gmail, when Gmail logs and files every word you say, they sell everything you put online to the highest bidder. Every alphabet agency has access to Google Files too. You know, the name of this show is The Expat Files Living in Latin America, right? So I'll tell you everything and anything you need to know about how expats live down here. And so naturally, I talk about fake vax cards because gringos and expats are asking about it all the time. It's big business. I know for a fact those cards are going for $100 to $300 bucks a crack. But to ask me to do the referrals, man, that's not the purpose of this show, and I'm not going to stick my neck out. I'm just going to tell you those hacks certainly exist. I'm just a guy who tells you how gringos and expats live, work, play, and or do business down here. Oh, and I've seen the same question, you know, regarding fake COVIDiot vax cards discussed on gringo expat Facebook groups too. Man, don't you know that everything you put on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those anti-social media sites is completely filed and tracked by every big brother agency most of us expats despise? So if you're inquiring about how to get a fake vax card on those idiotic Facebook pages, you don't think when traveling you're going to be on some list or two or 10? Oh, and by the way, when people talk about fake COVIDiot vaccine card, some are fakes, of course, but some are real. I'd say the majority of the cards are real. It's just that some local who is dying to get the vax took it instead of you. Or doctors, nurses, and clinics that have a stash of the real cards are selling them out the back door. Without the jab, of course. You heard me talk about that on a previous show about, I'd say, 4 to 6 months ago. How some people are able to go to their doc or a clinic here in Latin America, maybe even up in the States, but I doubt it. In the States, they'd come down on you like a hammer. Anyway, down here, it's been known to happen. Someone goes into a clinic or sees a doc and says, "I'll pay for the vax, just give me the card." You can give that vax to someone who really wants it. Now, one particular gringo expat I know did that, but his Spanish was really good. You know, if you don't know any Spanish, how are you going to pull that off? Because those nurses at those clinics, unless you're on the gringo tourist trail, they don't speak any English. But here's the thing. If you've had boots on the ground already and made some contacts or a network here in Latin America, you'll easily be able to find someone to get you a card, if that's your intention. Oh, and another trick I've heard gringos use is to tell the nurse, clinic, or whatever, you got vaxxed in the States with the Pfizer and you lost your card. Don't have one now. And all you're looking to do is get a duplicate card so you can travel with ease. Yeah, it's a little white lie, but people are doing that. So how well does it work? Well, it depends on your powers of persuasion and or how short a cash the doctor, clinic, or nurse is you're asking the favor of. I'm not suggesting you do anything illegal. I'm just answering a question that keeps coming up over and over and over again. So in the end, all you fence sitters out there who've never got boots on the ground, if you're looking to get a fake vax card, I don't know how you're going to do it. The only way you're going to be able to find a guy who knows a guy is if you've got some Latino friends, acquaintances, and confidants here in Latin America that can lead you in that direction. Matter of fact, it's not just certain gringos and expats who don't want to get vaxxed. I'm finding large groups of Latinos, especially Latinos who work in the healthcare field, that are rejecting the idea of getting the vax, but they're going to need a card too, especially if they work in the healthcare field. Just like up in the States, they're making it mandatory for healthcare workers and nursing home workers, etc. All right, let's talk about some details regarding fake vaccine cards here in Latin America. There's lots of data and reports coming out on that. So right now, I'll condense various news articles coming out of various Central and South American Spanish publications. Again, I'll try to cut out the boring spots. All right, here goes. After peddling fake tests and vaccines for coronavirus, criminals are now selling counterfeit vaccination certificates directly in Mexico City, allowing their customers to lie about their vaccine status and have no problems traveling abroad. You can go right down to Mexico City's Plaza de Santo Domingo and find vendors in the neighborhood charging 500 to 600 pesos, that's 25 to 30 bucks, for fabricated documents. This news comes out of one of Mexico's largest periodicals and news services, El Universal. It goes on to say, the discovery of these vendors was made less than a week after Mexican government announced they will attempt to certify vax documents in a central database. Then it says fabricated documents out of Central and South America have two purposes. First, unvaccinated people or those with the first dose can use the fake certificates to gain entries in countries that require two doses. Secondly, they can change the vaccine listed on their certificate for countries with specific requirements. For example, the European Union only accepts travelers having received Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, or Johnson & Johnson vaccines. By the way, did you know that Johnson & Johnson just got fined $2 billion with a B for producing talcum powder that causes cancer? They knew about it for years and never told anyone or changed the formula. So then you're supposed to trust Johnson & Johnson to produce a safe and effective vaccine? But I digress, not too far though. Anyway, it says the only four vaccines approved by the European Medicine Agency, in other words, to allow you to travel to the European Union, again, are Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, and Johnson & Johnson. Oh, and did you know Pfizer paid out billions in fines for lying and changing laboratory results on the tests on some of their own drugs? Yet you're supposed to trust that they're making a safe and effective vaccine? You're kidding me, right? Problem is, most people in Mexico, Central and South America who've been vaxxed have received the China-made Sinovac vaccine or the Russian Sputnik vax. And there's really no history or data on those companies. In fact, as for Mexico, some of the more expensive fake documents work so well, they include a QR code that redirects to a fake website designed to look just like the Mexican government's COVID vaccination website. According to cybersecurity expert Carlos Ramirez, he says that it's challenging, but criminals can load each QR code with the proper data required by the Mexican government. So when scanned, comes up correctly. Then it says fake vaccination certificate schemes go well beyond Mexico, with Paraguay, Peru, Chile, Argentina, and Venezuela reporting the appearance of many falsified certificates too. But it's not only fake COVID vaccine cards. Counterfeit negative PCR tests were first made available in January 2021. Turns out, big Mexican newspaper El País discovered a scheme that sold negative tests at the Cancun International Airport directly, specifically to expats and foreign tourists who were returning home and didn't want to wait or risk a negative test or the hours it took to get a result, since most countries require a negative PCR test 72 hours or less before entering the country. Turns out Mexico is one of the world's hotspots for producing phony vaccines. In January 2021, Mexico's National Council of Privacy and Security, Consejo Nacional de Seguridad Privada, reported the discovery of multiple laboratories making fake vaccines in perfect-looking counterfeit vials in the states of Jalisco, Tamaulipas, Chihuahua, and Mexico City. While in Venezuela, just a month ago, nearly 2,000 people were scammed into purchasing vials of water with some additives advertised as the Sputnik and Sinovac COVID vaccines for $100 to $450 each. Meanwhile, it's becoming common knowledge among doctors in Mexico, Central America, and South America that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin can cure early COVID cases completely. Though Latin governments, in line with first world government thinking, continue to seize boxes of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, saying, just like the standard line from the World Health Organization and Dr. Fauci, that those drugs are shown to be ineffective, even though they're showing remarkable results worldwide. Typical, huh? But you knew that already. In fact, there's a quote here. Get this. It says, in Brazil, government authorities seized 120 cases of hydroxychloroquine, an anti-malarial drug touted by President Jair Bolsonaro as a treatment for the coronavirus. Then the news article says, get this, and I'm sure you're used to this, the drug has been shown to be ineffective. which, of course, we all know now is total BS. All it took was Trump to say that it works, and the whole world said, no way. If Trump says it's so, it's got to be a lie. Hey, I'm no Trump fan. I think every politician's a pathetic, lying, sociopathic pussball. But I'll bet you a Bitcoin if Biden or Obama had said that hydroxychloroquine was a promising treatment for COVID, the U.S. government would be handing it out like candy. Oh, did you know that the number one country in the world for the most per capita vaccines given per day is Ecuador? Now, you got to wonder, who's paying for all the sweaty masses to get the vaccine? Well, guess what? Throughout Latin America and the Third World, governments are jabbing you for free. And you know, when things are free, people beat each other up to get in line. But they're not really free. For example, when a government contracts Russia, China, or Pfizer to get millions of doses of their COVID vax, Latin governments, of course, are broke. They just take out an emergency loan from the World Bank or IMF. So the corrupt drug companies get their billions right up front. And the third world countries that took out those loans, well, they end up getting added to the debit side of the national debt balance sheet to be paid off with more loans and higher taxes. How else? But the citizens won't feel the pain, except for that jab, of those higher taxes until the crisis has subsided. When someone, probably Dr. Dickhead Fauci, proclaims that herd immunity has been achieved. That'll be some months or years down the line because governments know it would be political suicide to raise taxes in the COVIDiot lockdown climate where half the people are at home not working, which all in all is perfect timing to roll out those government digital currencies you've been hearing so much about. Because, you know, when governments eliminate paper currency and you have to do everything with their virtual currency online, they'll know every purchase you make and they'll take their taxes right out of your account as you make those purchases. There'll be no off-the-books or untaxable gray market economy because there'll be no physical cash around anymore to transact with. Now, of course, I'm not talking about Bitcoin, Ethereum, or other cryptocurrencies, which were created to bypass government currencies. They're decentralized. Government digital currencies are centralized, and why governments hate decentralized cryptos, of course. So, anyway, if you've been wondering how broke third world countries have been able to afford the billions of dollars necessary to buy all those vaxes for the sweaty masses, well, it was just another Big Brother and Big Pharma buy now, pay later extortion scheme. But you knew that already, right? Or did you? Speaking of fake news, you can't believe anything from the lamestream media these days. Take the news coming out of Guatemala this week. You may have seen in the news that there are all kinds of protesters in the street, with the president, who's an MD himself, getting hammered by the public because less than 2% of Guatemalans have been vaxxed. Have you seen that news? Well, it's all completely fake. People aren't protesting because they're not getting vaxxed. They're protesting because the government just fired the top anti-corruption prosecutor, a guy with a real success rate of rooting out government corruption. So what'd they do? They fired him. Typical, huh? And people have been taking to the street because they want that guy to continue rooting out corrupt bad guys. Instead, the first world media has turned this story into a COVIDiot story. It's complete fake news. But how are you supposed to know that? It just seems so logical. A country with less than 2% of the people vaxxed and people taken to the streets? Man, you just can't believe anything coming out of mainstream. I guess it's more interesting or more newsworthy to create a fake COVIDiot story than the story of firing a government prosecutor who roots out high-level government corruption. That story's boring, huh? Meanwhile, in Argentina, a place I never recommend for a permanent Plan B destination, and I never have, they've got, you know, the highest percentage of people with European blood in all of Latin America. In fact, most of them really believe they are European. And I guess in a way they are because they've become the most woke country in Latin America, though neck and neck with Chile. The proof? Get this. Argentina's just unveiled a new national identity system for people who identify as non-binary. Under the new law, Argentines have the right to identify themselves as gender neutral or anything in between. Whereas up till now, on passports and national documents of identity, DNIs, residents have only been able to select male or female. What a tragedy. But now, anyone applying for a new Argentine ID document or passport can select X or anything else for their gender, with Argentina being the first Latin American country to adopt this new system. The president, at a ceremony in Buenos Aires, unveiled the new range of ID cards with the new format and delivered the first three of them with Argentina's Interior Ministry and the Minister of Women and Gender. Now, in his speech introducing those cards, the president said, Quote, the ideal will be when all of us are just who we are and no one cares about people's gender, unquote. Yeah, I bet an ex will give you a big leg up on that next job interview. He also said Argentina's on the forefront, joining a number of progressive countries who've already adopted this system, including Canada, New Zealand, and India. By the way, the president of Argentina, Alberto Fernandez, is another one of those guys like Biden who never worked a real job in his life. He went from being a law professor to politics. Typical, huh? Now, if you're wondering why he's so hot on pushing the gender fluidity thing, hey, to each his own, right? But here's what you didn't know. The president's son, Stanislao Fernandez, is an interior design student and professional drag queen. If you don't believe me, look it up. All right, now we have a report from a gringo off the grid in Nicaragua. I mean, really, isn't that the goal of so many of us expats, living off the grid? Anyway, he says, hi, Johnny. Love listening to your podcast. Very informative, and I find myself nodding in agreement all the time. Perhaps, unfortunately, I did my plan B and C some 12 years ago. And yes, I picked Nicaragua and that overpriced estancia in Argentina. Talk about two pathetic governments, Argentina, Nicaragua. Well, as far as La Estancia, it's not so overpriced anymore. And Doug Casey, who was sort of a founder, is pretty much gone, along with all those original folks that came down thinking they would be hanging with Doug, sipping wine and smoking cigars with him all day long. Now, with the Argentine peso demolished, it went from 34 last month to the current 66, gray market rate today. Living expenses in dollars, anyway, are indeed cheap. Cafayette, again, Doug Casey's previously chosen spot, is indeed a very special little town with many good restaurants, hotels, and tourist shops. Not many gringo tourists, thankfully. It's hard to spend more than 10 bucks at the best steakhouses, including dessert and plenty of great wine. We are so far off the Buenos Aires beaten path that we don't even notice the politics, and no one seems to care much. Though we live most of the year in Nicaragua, in a development called Gran Pacifica. This is a little struggling, gated community, which is nice because not many people are around. Here, there are no towns nearby. Even the recent unrest in Nicaragua had no effect on us. Some of the locals we know were even sent to this area during the Contra Wars, as even then, our area was safe because there's really nothing here. Except an incredible ocean, great waves, and oddly, few surfers. Though paradise for an old, crappy surfer like I am. We surf, troll fish in our little sailboat, and share meals with neighbors. There are no restaurants within a 45-minute drive. So obviously it's not for everyone, I understand that, but we love it. Anyway, Johnny, I'd love to get your info on home solar units. The Powerwall-type units you talk about, the Tesla Powerwall-type clone units. If you go to Alibaba, you'll see so many to choose from. We have a huge propane tank that's buried. We fill it once a year. But our generator has been having issues, and I'm considering switching to solar. I have 5 manzanas outside our little development where I have a well and grow all kinds of edibles, mostly for me and the locals on our dirt road. I figure with solar, our giant propane tank, well water, and growing many of our own fruits and veggies, we could last a long, long time here without any interference. Then, if worse comes to worse, we can escape in our little sailboat. Oh, and along with the solar stuff, could you provide some information on recommended stem cell hospitals and clinics? I've not seen a doctor myself in over 20 years, but I would like to fix my bad hip that I've had since my 20s, or at least see if stem cell injections could help with it. Anyway, all the best and keep on doing what you do, Johnny. Saludos, Andy. Well, thanks for that, Andy. Sounds like you're living way off the tourist trail. Nothing wrong with that, especially since you've got some great hobbies like surfing, gardening, etc., etc. Of course I'll send you the stem cell stuff. And as far as Alibaba and the Powerwall clones, I've checked out many of them, and one of them is my absolute favorite. It's a company called YIY. Yeah, the letters YIY. They're a big solar energy and inverter company. They've been doing solar batteries and inverters, both residential and commercial, for something like 20 years now. I have a personal direct contact who speaks English. You can get on WhatsApp with you. Plus, I can send you the price list and complete documentation for practically all their units. It's really well done and informative, and you can go completely off the grid with one of their all-in-one units. All you need are solar panels. They come in various sizes, and they arrive completely wired and self-contained. I'll send you that. And by the way, I don't make any money at all doing this stuff. People ask me that all the time. Do you get a cut? Do you get a commission? In a word, no. I could, of course, but then it would be a conflict of interest, right? However, those companies know if I order stuff for myself or I go to a stem cell clinic, etc. they better treat me right. Oh, by the way, Andy put a title on that email. His title is, I Want It All. Good for you, Andy. Believe me, if you're living right on the ocean, you grow your own food, you've gone completely solar, have your own well and your own sailboat, you do seem to have it all. Wait a minute. Andy never mentioned the love and romance angle. He never mentioned having a Selma Hayek or Sofia Vergara clone. Hey, you heard him. He said he wanted it all. Speaking of love and romance in Latin America, or fake love and romance, however you want to view it, today we have a report of the relaxation of COVIDiot rules coming out of Ecuador. Just out this week. They've announced a pilot plan to reopen the houses of ill repute, the brothels. You know, prostitution is legal in most Latin American countries. But of course, the COVIDiot lockdowns lock down the brothels too. In fact, expat Eddie said that 6-foot social distancing rule certainly was the straw that broke the camel's back. 6 feet, that makes intimacy impossible. Except for maybe that genetically favored 0.001%. Guys, you know who you are. Anyway, here's the new brothel regs coming out of Ecuador. They're called Planificación la Aplicación de Plan Piloto en Bordeles. I'll translate. It says, government institutions charged with public safety met with 5 casas de citas. Those are, translation, dating houses. In los zonas de tolerancia. How do you like that? They call the neighborhood these houses are in tolerance zones. Aptly named, don't you think? Anyway, the Ecuador Public Safety Bureau met with 5 of those dating houses in the neighborhood called in English the tolerance zone to initiate a plan to reopen the brothels, which have been closed for most of the pandemic. It goes on to say, last weekend, the government announced a plan to reopen brothels that have submitted a biosecurity protocol, starting by opening at 30% capacity and prohibiting the sale of alcoholic drinks. Good luck with that. Then it says this test program will last for 30 days, starting 48 hours after the publication of the resolution, with the workers, of course, having to show negative COVID tests. So it's a 30-day pilot program to reopen the brothels. I wonder, how many lard-ass government officials will be checking it out? I mean, hey, they're the ones that have to decide whether they continue on with the program. I guess, when in doubt, we can always fall back on that famous bumper sticker. Namely, what would Jesus do? You see that t-shirt and bumper sticker all the time. You think he'd be for social distancing of any kind? I don't think so. He was a touchy-feely, give-us-a-hug, hands-on kind of guy. Just saying. South
of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.